Welcome back to Play It Loud. I'm Rich.
I'm Bree.
And today we have a special guest. We are going to be interviewing Cullen Moore from Sleep Theory. How did that come about?
So back in, what month did we see them?
Wow, that was July.
Yeah, it had to be July. We went to go see the second leg of the Shinedown Revolutions tour.
It was, it was kind of the in-between. They have a first and a second. This is like the, the smaller arena.
Yeah, this is before the Papa Roach tour.
Right.
So they were like a smaller, intimate venue.
We were at the Madison Sylvia in Madison.
Yeah, so not a huge venue, enough to hold maybe a couple thousand people.
2,500, I think it was.
Yeah. And so we went to go see them, and Sleep Theory was opening, so we were super stoked. I wasn't going to go originally, but I was kind of jealous after seeing the first show. I was like, oh, I need to go see Shinedown again.
Because we had seen them in May?
May, yeah.
Early May.
April or May. And so Sleep Theory opened, and we were super pumped. My friend Lexi came with us with Ryan, who unfortunately isn't here today.
He is not.
so we went to the show together, and Sleep Theory performed, and they were fantastic. So much energy. The crowd had so much energy. It was a great show. And then afterwards, we were talking with the people behind us, and the wife had gone to the bathroom and come back, and she's like, "Oh my God, I just met Sleep Theory." So Lexi and I are like, oh my God, like they're by their merch booth. Like we need to go. And so the people behind us like held our spot. We had a pretty good spot in the pit. And so we went to talk to them, and so nice. They were so nice. Paula wasn't there. But Cullen was, and, I think Ben was also there. Mm-hmm. And so we were talking with them, and I was like, this is a really silly question. But do you do podcasts? Like, I'd love to interview you guys, talk about kind of what's going on. And we, had a couple conversations because we went back and forth because more guys were showing up later in the night, and we had already seen Shinedown. So I was okay with missing a couple of songs that I wasn't, they have like Shinedown has this middle of their set where it's just kind of slower songs and just kind of like getting a good vibe and settling down. And then they hit hard again. So between
right around daylight.
Yeah, so like a little around that time, we kept going back and forth. One time, because Lexi did forget her drink, so we had to go back and get it. The $20 giant white glass. so we went back and talked to them a few times, and they were really sweet, really, really great guys. We got pictures with them, and Lexi got us both. They had stickers, so they signed a couple of those for us, and we bought merch. And Cullen gave me their tour manager's information and all that stuff.
Steve.
And so, we got into contact. We follow each other on Instagram. So we've been messaging back and forth randomly, since that show actually. And I, reminded him, hey, we're going to send out an email, like get to it when you guys can. And he contacted his manager and was like, hey, I made a promise to this person. I want to do this and hold, keep my word. And so I was so grateful for that. And we had a couple hiccups getting this interview, but nonetheless, here we are.
They wanted to do it.
Last Friday.
No, they wanted to do it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
we had Nickelback that night. So we couldn't do it. And I was there. You were there. Ryan was there. So my wife was there, and Ryan's girlfriend was there. So all of us were out. We couldn't do it that night. And then we tried to get together last week. And their schedules just, they've been trying to put stuff together in the studio. And Friday, Steve messaged and said, hey, can we do it Monday? And I was like, yeah, let's do it Monday. So I know Ryan couldn't be here.
After much panic,
we're
here.
Interview, and I know Lexi couldn't be here. We were all set to go last week, but we got it done. So without further ado, here we go. Well, we have Cullen Moore from Sleep Theory with us this afternoon. Thank you for joining us, Cullen. We appreciate your time. And I'm Richard, and that's Bree. As you know, we met at the Madison show with Shinedown and Memphis, Tennessee's own Sleep Theory. So we were talking about, you guys are from Memphis. You guys came together from a bunch of different backgrounds. You've been doing this for 15 years. Some of the other guys, Paulo's from the Philippines. I have that right?
Palos from the Philippines, and we actually met at a birthday party. He was playing My Heart by Paramore, and he was singing, and I was like, dude, you got to come and be a part of this project with me, because like, you just have such a raw talent. He tore up and down. He's like, no, I'll just do photography for you guys for free. Like, I was like, Paolo, no, with a talent like that, man, you got to come. And so he's like, all right, I played drums. I was like, well, actually, like, I need to play bass. He didn't play bass at all. So, like, he actually ended up picking up the bass, and it took about a month to, like, get it down. And he's like, all right, I'm ready to go. And Paolo worked with Ben and Daniel at the time. And he just randomly showed them the music, and they fell in love with it. And that's how everybody became a part of Sleep Theory. Within, that's like the condensed 3 year, the 3 year thing, all in probably about like 15 seconds. But it's been a pretty cool thing, man.
Right. So you guys recently talked with Katie Babbs on Octane, right? It was probably like 2 months ago at this point. And you guys had mentioned that y'all have been together since like 2019, 2020. So how has that journey looked for you guys? Because I know a lot of it's been, you know, you guys are really hard on like Instagram and TikTok and all these other social media platforms. So what has it kind of looked like since starting the group to now? Like, how have you guys worked to get to where you are? Because I mean, I don't mean to be the one to point this out, but you guys blew up. Like, you guys were overnight, like, everybody loved you. So how did you get to that point? Because, I mean, y'all are getting, like, crazy success right now.
So whenever it started back in 2019, 2020, it was just myself and our producer. What I like to do is kind of, I like to consider our producer, Dave, like the Mr. Han of Linkin Park. He's like the guy that's behind the scenes that, like, you know, I mean, Mr. Han was on stage and things of that sort, but, you know, or Quincy Jones, the Michael Jackson, you know, like, these producers did so much for these artists. And, you know, maybe they weren't on the stage in the beginning or at all, but, like, these people did so much. So starting off, it was just me and our producer, Dave. And it was probably about, like, a year and a half. A little bit over a year and a half, it was just me and him. And then over that time, I met Paolo. Paolo became a part of the group. And then, you know, he added so much to it. The reason I didn't want him on drums, because, as I said, he has such a, like, an entertaining, like, sense of himself. Like, why would you want to put, like, that kind of talent behind a drum set? Of course, like, drummers have all the talent in the world, but when you have someone that can sing, you know, be a front man at the same time, but also, you know, play the bass, like, put him up front, you know? And so, over time, you know, as it's all pre-working in the studio, me, myself. Hello?
Yeah, I got you. Okay, so we heard as far as Paolo, you got as far as Paolo, and that dude's got a ton of energy. When he was on stage, that guy was dancing around, he was singing. He's crazy. He's absolutely energetic.
So, Paolo, you know, as I said, as a drummer, didn't want to put him behind the drum set because, you know, he has such a, you know, a great entertaining sense of himself. You know, he can sing, he has all that energy he projects outward. So, you know, us three being in the studio, we've worked on things, and it's really great not having to worry about deadlines and or, you know, having to worry about finishing this time or whatever, because you're just so focused in on crafting the song of what you want it to be. So over 3 years, that's what we did. You know, we just crafted what we wanted it to be and what we knew we wanted the sound to go for. And we had a great time doing it. And then when Ben and Daniel hopped up for it, it just made everything a whole lot, you know, easier. So, you know, a lot of bands you gotta do that done. Well, we were just in there cracking jokes, having a good time, you know, and then whenever we felt like it was the right time to do it, which we did release the song back in 2022, and we got maybe, you know, 5,000, 6,000 views on it, and, you know, as a local musician, we thought that was, you know, awesome, that was cool, but we also knew that marketing behind it. You know, it was just like, oh, here's a song. We're a local band. And hopefully people listen. And so whenever it came to January, it was like, you know, we did this last year. It didn't really work. So we're kind of nervous of re-releasing it. But fine, we'll put it on TikTok. And it was on a whim. And when I went to sleep, woke up, it was blowing up.
I think that's where I heard it. And then
you heard it on TikTok?
And then I heard it on TikTok. And then maybe a week later, I heard it on, no, probably 2 weeks later, I heard it on, so a week later, I heard it on Spotify. And a week after that, I heard it on XM. It was crazy how it went from, I had never heard of this band before. And it just kind of popped up on my TikTok feed. Kind of like, there's a band out there in Florida called Nevertail. And they popped up on my TikTok feed. They're kind of a storage band.
He likes Nevertail. I'm almost positive.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, Nevertail's unbelievable. We had them on the podcast. And I love them. And I found them on TikTok. And I found you guys on TikTok. And then it was on Spotify. And then it was on my Spotify feed. And then I was listening to Octane. And I'm like, what the hell? This is unbelievable. Like in 2 weeks, I heard you guys everywhere. And pretty soon, you know, you guys released that. And then you followed it up with Numb. And you guys are on Octane's Biggins. I mean.
In the Accelerator. You guys are the Octane Accelerator.
Right.
And it was crazy. Like, I remember messaging you when I found the song. I'm like, oh, because we send songs back and forth, you know, just to, you know, get new sound out. And I was like, these guys have one song and they're awesome.
Right. We try to do a ton of research and pull up anything you've done in the past and couldn't find anything. And I'm like, oh man, this is, you know, this is like a one-off thing, but they're so good. I mean, you guys reminded me of, and you know, and these are well-established bands, but Seven Dust and the Veer Union and Fire from the Gods. And I thought maybe it was one of those guys doing another band. And then it was you guys completely unrelated. I'm like, these guys are fire. How have we missed this? And you guys just re-released it not too, but 2 weeks before that. So I didn't feel so bad.
Yeah. Man, I appreciate that, man. Yeah. It was actually the guy from Nevertail. We actually, he actually messaged me on Instagram. We chat back and forth. I forgot his name.
Raul or Jeremy, one of the two.
Jeremy. There he goes. I knew it was a J. And we've been chatting back and forth. Man, we're like, man, we got to get something going. Nevertail, you know, X Sleep Theory, you know, get something rocking, because we're right there to where they do like they're doing that R&B pop, and it's just like we're doing like the, you know, as far as Donna, we're kind of a little bit, I don't know what we are, truthfully. Like,
you're a little more rock, you're a little more hard rock, they're a little more like Linkin Park, you know?
Yeah, you know, so I mean, that's where I see it, you know. It all happened so quickly. It was just like, hey, you know, we posted it up. And then truthfully, before anything, I didn't really know all that much what SiriusXM, I mean, I knew what SiriusXM was, but Octane, I really wasn't all that in tune with it. So whenever we're getting all this Octane buzz, I was like, okay, you know, like, all right. But then like, it just started going like even more and more, and then I just started understanding that Octane, what it actually is. I was like, oh wait, I'm when it comes down to like some stuff, I'm just not very I'm kind of slow at that, but yeah, man, it all just happened so fast. And the next thing you know, we're on SiriusXM Octane talking to Katie Babb, and then we're, you know, doing an Octane performance, and it's just like, man, this is, everything's just moving so fast. It's so cool.
I saw a video of you guys in the studio 4 days before your song got released, and I think it was Numb, if I'm not mistaken, and they started playing it, and you guys went absolutely wild in the studio because of, you know, how would that take us through that feeling of 2 months ago, we were just a band trying to get noticed by 6,000 people, and now we're getting introduced to millions of people through Octane. What? Take us through that feeling as an artist, as a human.
So, man, it's been, like I said, it's for myself, and I know the other guys, everybody has different times of how long they've been working, you know, as musicians and in music. But for me, it's been 15 years. And so, like, you know, for that, knowing that it got on Octane and knowing that, like, people are recognizing the craft that, over time, I wouldn't say it's been 15 years of failure, but it's been 15 years of not, you know, being recognized. Because through those 15 years, you know, you learn different things and you do different things, and, you know, it just helps get prepared for whenever you're, you know, for times like this. But man, whenever we heard that it was, you know, on top of, on Octane or like getting number one, man, it's just like, you know, the feeling of not the I told you so feeling for the people that, you know, have throughout the years have been like, oh, there goes Cullen, you know, he's still pushing his music and all this or that. It's just a good, it's just that feel good feeling of, man, I didn't waste my time, you know, like, you know, I truthfully, I wouldn't recommend it for anybody, but I'm very headstrong. And what my parents always tell me, whenever I put my mind to something, I'm always going to get what I want. And like, it's just, I've always been that way. So I dropped out of college. I would avoid certain jobs. You know, I didn't stay in the military because I felt like if I stayed in it, like it would distract me from wanting to do the music, you know? You know, I whenever I was home, whenever we went to go eat with friends, I would, you know, pick, you know, meals that were a lot cheaper than what I needed. You know, that I would get meals that were, you know, cheaper because I didn't want to spend. I wanted to spend all my money on recording. You know, I wanted to spend all my money on the music. I wanted to be completely invested. And so, you know, that feeling of like, you know, after all the years of the people, like, I wouldn't say looking down, but doubting, I guess you could say, the people that always thought that you were just chasing some dream that was just dead or whatever, you know. It's just a good feel good feeling of like, you know, I stuck with it and it's showing, you know, like I have something to show for it now. I don't feel like whenever, you know, I didn't stay in college. I don't feel like it was for nothing, you know? So it's a pretty good feeling.
Right. So knowing that, you know, it the music industry is simultaneously easy to get into, but extremely difficult to get into at the same time, right? Like you can blow up overnight and instantly you're recognized by everybody, or you kind of have your path where you've already been in it for 15 years. So knowing that, what advice would you give to the people who are on the cusp of giving up, you know, and not pursuing their dream, because it is hard? What would you say to keep them going? What made you keep going?
Well, I'm hard-headed, first off. And second, I mean, like, it's just being self-aware, you know, being self-aware of what, like, what you're getting into, like, but also just, like, for the people that feel like they're gonna give up, I mean, like, I how can I say this? I feel like the people that really want it are the people that won't give up. You know, I feel like the people that are just, like, so ready to just be like, you know, whatever. Like, is your heart really in it? Like, if you feel like you're gonna give up, just push even harder. Like, don't say it, don't think it, just stay focused on what you want. Like, that's the way I look at it. It's just like, you know, I didn't ever really feel as if, like, it was more of a, whenever we started working with Dave, I told the guys, now this is whenever I, like, it wasn't a situation of, like, I'm going to give up. But I was like, because I know how vital Dave is to, like, this process and to this project. I told myself, I was like, if I'm not working with Dave, then I'm not going to do it, because Dave is the person that we need to be involved with, who, you know, that knows his stuff, and we know each other well enough. But I'm going off on another tangent. But for the people that, you know, feel like they're going to give up, don't give up. And if you think you're going to give up, then, I mean, I don't know how else, but that's the way I look at it. It's like, if I let my intrusive thoughts feel like, man, I'm going to give up, then maybe I'm doing the wrong thing.
Who were your inspirations in the last 15 years that got you to the point that you're at now musically? Who did you look to and say, I'm going to pull a little bit from them, I'm going to pull a little bit from them, I'm going to pull a little bit from them, I want to emulate those guys? Who were your inspirations?
I would say, dude, that's a question that's just
It's kind of like, what's your favorite movie? It's like, oh, yeah, no,
you
let
probably
me
have a
one.
Lot of.
I can answer that. Jurassic Park, 1, 2, and 3, hands down. It's my childhood. All right.
Hey, I respect it. It's a good franchise for the most part.
It's childhood. I got to. But man, for me, like, you would think that there's a lot of rock influences, but there's Boys to Men. You know, there's.
You guys did Bye 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 on tour from NSYNC, yeah, so that's got to be an inspiration, NSYNC, right?
You know, there's Michael Jackson, there's Chris Brown, I would even say there's Drake. But then when you go over to the rock side of things, you got, you know, Johnny Craig, which is a huge, big influence for me. Everybody thinks that, oh, like this or
he
that.
Used
like,
to be the lead Johnny singer. Craig, he used to be the lead singer of Slaves, which is now Rain City Drive.
Yeah. Yeah, he used to be in Dance Gavin Dance.
Yeah.
And Marosa. Like, if, you know, a lot of people that, like, know Johnny, whenever they hear me, like, sing and doing certain vocals, they're like, okay, I see where you get your
his voice is amazing. Yes, sir.
Yeah, dude, Johnny is he's nuts. He's absolutely bizarre. But then you have, like, you know, Seosin or Skylet Drive. Then you have Sleeping with Sirens.
Which is a totally different vocal than you have, right? Like, his pitch is way up here, and yours is way down here.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, I mean, I would even say 3 Days Grace.
Amazing.
Way back when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Linkin Park, obviously. Fall Out Boy. It just goes on.
Tens across the board.
It just goes and goes. I don't know how else to... Because, like I said, it's one day it's R&B, and then one day it's, you know, rock, and one day it's oldies, and then one day it's, you know, old 90s of, you know, R&B. So I'm just all over the place.
I know you don't give yourself enough credit to getting to where you were, but you mentioned 3 Days Grace. So we saw 3 Days – well, we saw From Ashes to New, 3 Days Grace, along with Shinedown in an arena in Milwaukee. And then we came and saw you guys in Madison, and – you opened for Shinedown. Now, that's got to be mind-blowing, first of all. So tell us how that whole thing came about, because essentially those guys have been around for a really long time and opened up for Shinedown, and they're amazing bands, and so are you guys. So how did that all come about? How did you get on that ticket?
Yeah, so actually the funny thing is we actually saw Shinedown here in Memphis with 3 Days Grace, Ashes to New, and Shinedown. But we actually, so our producer Dave actually grew up or knew each other and knew Zach from Shinedown.
Everybody knows,
like,
this guy
from here. Like, they grew up like two streets over, like years ago. But second always is Memphis. Well, he stays in Memphis. And so Memphis has like a very, like, there is a, back in the day, the music scene, it was really tight knit or whatever. Now Memphis is trying to do its thing. But there was a reunion show that was held here in Memphis. And Zach happened to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It was for an old band that was in Memphis that got really popular. But Zach happened to be there. We were opening for that show. We were blowing up at the time. They were just like, yo, these Memphis guys, bring them on the ticket. Zach was there, and we played a show and blew the roof off the place. And afterwards, I was in the back in, like, the green room area, and then Zach walked up to me and was like, so, and this is exactly how this whole encounter went. I cannot make this up at all. Like, it's as serious as I'm about to say it. He walks up, and he was like, hey. I was like, hey. He's like, so. Like Shinedown tour July. I was like, yeah. He's like, cool. I have my people hit your people. I was like, all right.
That's amazing. It's amazing.
It was great. It was great. It was so, it's amazing. It was so chill.
It's amazing what you say yes to, that opportunities breed opportunities, right? So you go to the Memphis thing, you don't know that that's going to happen. So you go there, you think, we're just going to play in front of a few thousand people. And now you're touring with Shinedown. I'm the feeling's got to be otherworldly.
And the thing is, it wasn't even a few thousand people. It was like a few hundred. Like, it was a small venue. Like, it was just, they invited Zach to come be a part of, because they knew him from way back, like, years ago. And so, like, the singer of the band had passed away. So it was a reunion show. And so they were like, yeah, they got a whole bunch of different people. There's a guy, I don't know the name, his name, but I know he's from a band called Saving Abel.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. They've been around forever.
The lead singer from that. He was there, and he did some songs and whatnot, and Zach played guitar on some songs. There's a guy from, I don't know if you guys have heard of a band. They went on tour with Shinedown back in 2019, Savages of Midnight. Shy Eubanks, he was there. But anyway, it was like a little small little reunion show. It was like a few hundred people that knew the band from 10 years ago. And yeah, man, we went and we had a good time. And that very casual encounter happened.
So how is life different now that you've toured with Shinedown?
It's been chill, dude. Our manager Steve, he will tell you that we have this. I don't really get surprised and or like my reactions to like everything as well as everybody else in the band is very like dull, I guess you could say. So somebody could be like, "Oh, like you've done this," and I'm like, "That's pretty cool, dude. That's awesome." Somebody asked like, "Oh, how was Shinedown?" I'm like, "That it was pretty cool, man." I don't know. Like, Shinedown, when we were out there, the experience, like, with them was great. Like, they treated us with respect. They helped us when we needed help with things. They didn't pressure us. You know, us as a small band that's still building their name. Like, it would be so easy for a band on Shinedown's level to be like, hey, you guys got to have your stuff in order. You got to be ready to go. Like, you know, get it right, get it tight, or you're done. You know, but whenever we're having certain technical issues or we're dealing with this or that, they're like, hey, look, take the time that you need. You know, their stage manager, Charles, you know, he made sure to tell us, like, look, if anybody in this camp gets you a hard time, let me know, and I'll let the guys up there know. Like, that's not how we do business. That's not how we operate. They want it to feel as casual and as smooth as possible. And they absolutely did. That I think that for a first tour, we couldn't have asked for a better band to go on tour with.
I think that speaks to their character, though.
Like, great example.
Yeah.
What's that?
It speaks to their character of Shinedown. I mean, they're very humble, down-to-earth guys.
I think they realize, hey, we used to be that band.
That
right?
too. I mean,
we used to be in that position, so they're trying to help other bands as well. Zach seems to be the most down to earth guy. Brent seems to be the most down to earth guy. All, you know, Barry seems to be the most down to earth guy, the drummer. They all seem very down to earth.
And, dude, let me tell you something. And, you know, and I mean this wholeheartedly. I'm not saying this because I know they'll tune into the podcast or whatever. I mean this wholeheartedly. Some people, as musicians, put on a persona to where, like, whenever they're in front of cameras, they act a certain way. When they're off camera, they act this way or whatever. Those guys are the exact same as they are on stage, as they are whenever you just see them in the back in the green room or when they're in their trailer doing yoga. They are seriously just super chill. Like, it was such a casual, you know, experience being able to like hang out with them, and just like, it was so cool. Like, they were super kind. Like, they just talked to you like they're regular people, and like, it wasn't like the way that they are seen on Instagram when they do videos and things of that sort. That's how they talk to, you know, whenever they're in the green room. They're just there. They're just super down to earth.
So you guys recently signed with a new record label. You were an independent. Now you've signed with a record label. What's the difference in the transition? How was it being an independent and now that you're with a record label? What's the difference? What's the main difference for you guys?
So being signed with Epitaph actually came full circle because Escape the Fate was the first band in this kind of genre that I myself listened to and Paolo listened to. So I listened to Not Good Enough for the Truth and Cliche, and that was the first song I heard by Escape the Fate, and the first song that Paolo heard was Situation, and they were signed to Epitaph. So it comes full circle that whenever Epitaph reached out, it was like a no-brainer for us, because Seosin, another band that we love, is on there, you know. Sleeping with Sirens. Was Parkway Drive on there? I can't remember.
Another good band.
Now Falling Reverse.
Yeah.
Now Falling Reverse is on there, you know. So many bands that we, you know, we respect and love are a part of this record label. And whenever they reached out, we were on the call, you know, we were talking and this and that. And then nearing the end of the call, one of them said, you guys are going to stop it at the time. Like, you guys are going to stop it at the time. It's a no-brainer. And we hung up the Zoom call. We all had, like, our after-meeting Zoom call, a little FaceTime with everybody in the band and our manager. And we were like, how did they know? Like, how do they know? How do they know? And so we were just like, we're going to play a little bit harder to get. We're going to play a little bit harder to get. And so we did another Zoom call. And at the end of that Zoom call, they were like, yeah, you know, like, we were talking about putting out these different songs. And they're like, oh, you guys can put it out through Epitaph. There'll be no problem. We'll do it right. And we're like, ah! How did they know? And, yeah, from the very first Zoom call, it was just like, this is who we're signing with. No doubt, no question.
Right. So what is kind of the plan from here? Like, in a year, what are you hoping to accomplish? Because now you have an EP coming out at the end of the month on the 29th, which we're super stoked for. I've been telling everybody to listen to the music. I'm like, they only have 3 songs. Like, do me one justice and just listen to what they have right now.
Yeah, if they haven't heard Gone or Staying, they should listen to that today. Right?
So
That's my favorite one.
I loved it live.
We looked at each other. We're like, that sounds familiar, but I've never heard that song
before.
Well,
it's funny because Lexi and I were standing in the pit in Madison, and you were standing off to the side. So you in your experience was... you were like, oh, I heard this rain sound. And then I was talking to Lexi and I'm like, do you remember hearing rain? Or do you just remember like being so excited and just being like, yeah, like, fuck it. Let's listen to a new song. Like, yeah, I'm down. And you're like, oh, I heard all this stuff. And I'm like, I was just vibing. And then that song came out and I was like, yep, this is it. And then it came out and I go, oh, this is what I needed today. I powered through. I was working on, I was doing assessments for work and I just like popped in my headphones and it was on replay and I'm messaging you. I'm like, dude, this is so good.
the beginning of the song, sometimes like I know what it is, like where it's like, this rain sounds familiar. What it is Eminem, what's his name? Tears gone cold, I'm wondering why.
Right.
It starts with rain.
That's a, so oh like, God, right, that's an... early 2000s.
Yeah, that's probably why. I was like, where have I heard this
before? Well, and then I was listening to a shuffle the other day, and I listened to See My Tears by MGK, and that's the same rain sound. I'm like, oh, I don't know what song this is. And I looked down, I'm like, oh, that's not the right song.
Right.
So needless to say, you have an EP coming out.
Paper Hearts.
Yes, at the end of the month. Y'all just released all of your merch officially, online at least.
She's got some on right now.
I do. I had to take off the jacket, made sure I, you know, repped a little bit. I had to make sure it was clean.
There we go.
Short-term notice, but I got my clean shirt. So what's the plan for you guys? I mean, you guys are doing a headlining show at the Hard Rock.
End of the month.
Yeah, y'all are touring with I Prevail. You're going to play a show in Columbus here soon, which is awesome.
It's just one show out in Columbus. Yeah, Columbus, Ohio. September 21st.
Which is awesome. If I had more notice, I would be like, let's go.
Let's freaking go.
But what's on the agenda for you guys? I mean, are you guys trying to headline in the next year? Or are you guys comfortable just playing support for right now and while you work on an album?
I think that the plan is to continue to blow up to where we build a following like Linkin Park, to where like people, like we want to be. Whenever, where do you go when there's no arena? Like, what do? You got to go to like a football stadium. I want to be Taylor Swift. All right. I want to be Taylor Swift size.
Hey, I mean,
I want to get out there. I want to have those freaking, those little football stadiums filled up, and we want to go ballistic.
No dream too big, Kellen. No dream too big.
Yeah. Whenever I was a kid, I thought it was the absolute coolest thing, you know, seeing not only Linkin Park, you know, have so many people like out there in the crowd doing the thing, but then like you look back and then you watch like Michael Jackson's like live performances, and like these folks were huge. Now, of course, in rock music, it might be a little bit harder, but hey, look, if you don't go for it, then you'll never get it.
Right. I mean, so, Metallica's doing that right now. They're on an arena tour right now with Five Finger Death Punch and Ice Nine Kills.
Well, we had Dorothy on our podcast, and she was with Disturbed and Beartooth up in Milwaukee. They did an arena tour, and that's like 17, 18,000 people. Doesn't seem like a lot, but it's when you get that many people in an arena, that's a lot of people, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys are, you know, I think – success comes in a couple different ways, right? Success comes either with really, really hard work, which it seems 15 years of hard work has gotten you there, or it comes with a little bit of luck. And I think the little bit of luck came in January 12th when you guys put your TikTok out there and it blew up. So hard work and success, that combination, that recipe came together, and here you guys are. You're releasing an EP. You're probably working on some new music for the next one. I'm assuming most bands do. And so, like she said, you know, but realistically, I mean, obviously you want to get to that level, but realistically, are you comfortable doing the support thing and growing? And is that the plan for the interim, or what is the interim plan?
Doing support for, I think that we're still a baby band. So, I mean, like doing support, getting our feet wet a little bit is definitely, you know, our plan. But I would say, if not late 2024, well, are we in 20? Yeah, we're 23 still. It's not late 2024 where we're not doing our own headlining, then at least by 2025, we want to be able to go out and be like, yeah, we're doing headlining now. Like, that's
hey, man,
what
we're going
on.
Whenever it is, sign me up.
Yeah.
You know, I asked.
Some really cool stuff cooking.
No, keep going.
No, I was just saying we got some really cool stuff cooking. You know, we're actually on the way to the studio now. But it, like these two songs, these four songs that we've already gotten done for the album, it's going to take what's already out and just like, if people love, you know, Numb, Another Way, Gone or Stand, and the rest of the EP, which is going to, like, the rest of the songs on there are pretty solid, too. But if people are going to like that, then these next few songs, then I'm excited. I really am.
That's awesome. We're gonna sign off, but I want you to stick around. We're going to grab some information from you, but I do really, really appreciate your time. I know it's valuable. You guys are working really hard, and I know she kind of grabbed you at the show
a few times. You know, we just
and was like, you got to come on the podcast. Then, you know. But we appreciate. I mean, you know, we just started this year as well, in January as well, on Spotify and iTunes, and so
full circle. We're all full circle in this year.
We're about 20, 30 episodes into it. So I do really appreciate your time.